Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Tech Connect podcast. I'm John Martin.
And I'm Dean Reverman.
Today on the show, we're once again diving into digital signage, but this time we're talking about the future.
Yep.
What's happening into the future. Yeah, exactly. So we're going to get a little bit into what's been happening currently around COVID related to digital signage and how that maybe informs the future and what's going to happen next.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about smart cities, healthcare, education, why people should be using digital signage, who's not using it, it should be. And then we're going to talk a little bit about some of the cool future tech. Our guest today is going to be Kristen Rubé from Elo.
We got a good one. Yep.
Very happy to have her on board talking about this. So it is time for us to plug in and get connected.
Welcome to the Tech Connect Podcast. It's time to get connected.
All right. As I mentioned, our guest today is Kristen Rubé from Elo. She is the senior channel sales manager for Interactive Solutions. Kristen, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being on. Tell us a little about yourself, what you do day to day at Elo, you know, and how busy you are right now.
Well, how long does this podcast go? So much for having me. So as was mentioned, I cover our interactive digital signage line and interactive digital signage vertical, as well as Pro AV. And that is extremely broad. So with that, I am kind of an overlay on our sales team and help within the different regions when interactive digital signage projects come up. But then I'm also working on leading our solutioning set for the Pro AV world. So corporate collaboration. Now what has come in very heavily is temperature sensing to go into buildings for access control. So as you said, day-to-day it's changing as our world is changing.
Yep. Definitely. And hey, Kristen, I noticed that you're from the great state of Michigan, maybe. Is it okay that, like, we're from Ohio? Well, at least I am. I know John's not, but you don't have anything against Buckeyes, do you?
No. So what's funny about that is before I moved into this role, I had a territory role. And there's so many retail and restaurants, especially retail headquartered in Columbus. So I would come in and they would start talking to me like, oh, Michigan. What I would say is, I'm Spartan. And they're like, oh, you're okay.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Well played, Kristen. Well played.
You're the inoffensive Michigan team,
I guess.
Right, whatever.
Yes.
You know. Yeah. Yeah, I don't get into that stuff. Like, you know, whatever. Like, whoever's out there having fun and playing, well, that's
good to go
for me.
Right.
So,
yeah, right.
Well, thanks again for joining us. We appreciate it. And obviously, you are the perfect person to talk to because you are very connected with kind of the more, you know, extended uses and applications for digital signage beyond just the basic. Throw something up on a wall.
Yeah,
and
not
put some
just passive, right?
Right?
It's not just the passive sign. And we'll get into that a little bit here today, but there's so much more to digital signage than just that.
Yeah. Exactly. So I'm considering this as a podcast about where we're basically saying the future is digital signage.
Mm-hmm.
That's
bold
statement.
I love the claim. Being a past digital signage guy myself, love the claim.
There you go. Hopefully someone doesn't dig this up like 20 years from now when it's all like, you know, holograms or something and say like, yeah, right, guys. You know.
Way to go, John. Yeah. That crystal ball was a little muddy, buddy.
So, Kristen, I'll start off by asking you, well, first, let's talk about, you know, our current situation, obviously. It's hanging over our heads all the time. We would love to do a podcast someday where we don't talk about COVID. I have a feeling that's still going to be a ways off.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, you know, digital signage is helping businesses out right now. So tell us a little bit about what you're seeing, interesting applications where people are taking their signage and using it, you know, to help combat COVID or keep people safe.
Yeah. So, I mean, as we've all been experiencing, this is really shaking our world and making, you know, everyone, there's a lot of controversy, there's a lot of insecurity, there's a lot of fear out there, and that is making, you know, communication and dissemination of information more important than ever. And digital signage truly is the best way to do that. It's, you know, contactless, it is very cost effective and easy to do from, you know, one central location, especially from people's homes. You know, someone could be managing an entire network of digital signs from their own home office, which is something that is extremely powerful and great about digital signage. But what we're needing today is that communication. What is going on? Make me feel safe. Make me understand where I am and what type of procedures that you're putting into place. remind me to what safety protocols. Everyone is different. So we're talking about, you know, you guys are from Ohio and Kentucky, I'm from Michigan, and everything is different. No matter where you go, you cross state lines, cross county lines. There are different regulations everywhere. So no one knows what is real, what isn't. There are, like in California, I was learning this yesterday, at restaurants, you have to have your mask on no matter what, and you're only allowed to take it down when you're eating or drinking. Here in Michigan, you wear your mask and you go sit down, and then it's done, it's off. So understanding what differences are in place, not only, you know, from a government mandated level, but from a business mandated level, what is helping them? Like, I went into Chipotle the other day and I was standing there, they had a bunch of stuff locked off, and I was like looking around, how do I order? What's going on? I didn't know that you had to order through the app or online. So I had to go step outside and place my order. And if there was some sort of signage in place telling me that this is the way we're doing business today, it would have helped me out. There was another gentleman that came in, and both of us were kind of looking at each other like, I just want a salad. How do I get a salad? So it's really different, because I could have walked into the place next door and gone through the standard ordering procedure. So digital signage is really, you know, helping communicate. And what's nice about the remote functionality of digital signage, and just the nature of digital signage, is you can take and repurpose product. So something that could have been a digital menu board that all three of those menu boards at one time were all product information, ordering information. And that middle one now can be saying, this is what you have to do. This is the way we're doing business. Remember to stay 6 feet away. We are requiring you are wearing a mask. So, I mean, we all hear it everywhere, but digital signage is just there to reinforce it and be personalized and customized for that exact location, place, company, department, because it can be so minute on the detail that you can get into based on the space.
Yeah, I agree, Kristen. I mean, when you think about how businesses are using digital signage, those that have it in place right now, obviously they are utilizing the dynamic nature of digital signage. One of the strongest selling points around digital signage is the fact that it's networked. You can drive content to it immediately, within seconds. Another nice feature about it, and I think hopefully some smart companies are getting into this, and Kristen touched on a little bit about repurposing assets that you have out there already. One nice thing about a digital display is that you can cut it up into zones. So maybe, you know, pre-COVID, you had it as full frame information going out. Well, you can still have some of that main information going out, but you can now put the screen into zones, so you can allocate some of the screen space towards these more immediate messages of, oh, here's the new workflow within this environment, or here's the new ordering procedures, or whatever. These are things that you can't do with static signage, but you can cut up the space on a digital display and utilize that and leverage that. And that's how I think companies are using it today. And by the way, I think that's going to parlay into why it's going to be very successful in the future, which I think we'll get into as
right,
well.
Right. Yeah, I think I've said it a few times before that the whole idea behind signage is, like, we are trained, innately trained now to look at signs, to look at digital screens, you know, whether it's the ones we're carrying around in our pockets all the time, our televisions, like we're used to it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as Kristen mentioned, when you walk into a place and, you know, the only way they're telling you what to do is maybe with some paper signs that are stuck on the walls and half tearing off or falling on the floor or something, you're not paying attention to that stuff. You weren't paying attention to it even before a pandemic because you were so used to looking at something that was flashy and caught your attention. And signage can, that digital signage can do that. It can actually catch your eye.
It's in your psychology. I mean, they've run tests on it. Yeah. I don't know the numbers, and you know, you can look at it in a nefarious way too. Oh, they're, you know, they're just trying to get my attention, so they're making something move. Well, yes, but in the,
that's
in
important this, right now,
right? Yeah, the communications, if it's used in the proper way, and the communication needs to get to the individuals that are in these spaces, that's an okay use, if you ask me.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. So, Kristen, one question I want to ask you then is, you know, obviously Elo is well known for touchscreens. And we've just been talking about the idea of being contactless. So it brings the question up, but I guarantee you have been asked more than once, Are touchscreens a liability now? Should that be something we're scared of now? I mean, where do we stand?
You actually use the perfect word for what I'm about to say. You use the word contactless. You didn't use the word touchless. Mm-hmm. Contactless in our world, and I think just what we're learning about this virus and the way it is transmitted, you want that contactless experience of a less than human-to-human interaction, which in turn is making that human to digital, human to technology, and even more important, interaction and engagement point. You're engaging with something that isn't going to cough on you. It's not breathing particles on you. And even more importantly, it is something that, at least from our perspective and our touch technology, it's edge-to-edge glass. It can be cleaned and without hurting the technology between every transaction, every use. And I don't know about you, but where I go shopping, those self-service checkouts, those kiosks, those terminals are being used a heck of a lot more than those personal checkout or, you know, traditional cash out and checkout stations. And one is because people don't want to talk to people, which is really sad for our world, but it's being good for touchscreens and self-service. But it's also somewhere where you're visibly seeing something being cleaned after every interaction and engagement. And there's this level of comfort. We, as you mentioned, we always have some sort of digital technology. We're engaging with it on a regular basis. And when you don't know kind of who you can trust or who you're feeling comfortable around, what's your go-to? Yeah, I use a self-checkout regular. I used it before COVID, and there isn't a plexiglass in front of me, kind of where someone tells me something that I go, wait, what was that? What was that? You kind of move your mask because you can't read their lips through the plexiglass. It's something that is a transaction that hasn't changed. It's able to be cleaned. And again, it's something that we've learned isn't a means of transmitting the virus. So I actually think when people said, this is a, you know, touch screen and, you know, touch was a dirty word a few months ago. Now it is a safer option. So for them, I think it's going to grow. People are going to see that that human-to-human transaction is going to change and it's going to be different. Let's utilize that person to stock the shelves, make the food, clean the terminals, and do things that are going to visually make comfortable within their space, and let's use technology, something that used to be that human-to-human experience.
Great points. I mean, I think that, you know, right, as a society, we're kind of adjusting to so many different things with this pandemic. And, you know, using touch interactive technology is one of those. But I think Kristen's intuition here is dead on, in the sense that if you walk into an environment, it's not that I'm adverse to using touch. I will use touch, especially if I see that the company is knowledgeable and doing something about the fact of doing regular cleaning on it. You know, if I walk in and there's snot dripping down on the screen and it looks like it hasn't been cleaned in a while, nobody's going to touch that, right?
Right.
But that gets into the whole customer experience. And I've talked, and we've talked about that too, that, you know, some of the thought process out there right now is that there's going to be a lot more of a premium put on when people do go to the store, whether it's retail or wherever, there's a premium on that. You know, if I'm going to spend my time and go into this environment, I want to make sure that it's a good environment. And so retailers, hospitality needs to be cognizant of that fact. And, you know, they have to have in place best practices of screen wipe down in a regular interval so that the whole customer experience is there. But I think, you know, I'm with you, Kristen. I mean, I use it at my grocer checkout, and I use hand sanitizer after I utilize it, and that's just the norm now,
right?
It's not that I'm adverse to it. I know the risk or whatever, and even though it's pretty mitigated, and you know, life moves on. So I don't think it's, I'm with you. I don't think it's quite the liability that maybe we were at back in March and April trying to.
We just didn't know. Yeah.
Well, we're pressing the reset button on so many things, right. You know, well, is this going to be okay? Yeah. And just like a lot of things, you know, some of the things are going to be all right. We might have to change the way in which we, maintain these devices and stuff like that,
right.
But it's still all right.
Well, and let's be honest. regardless of whether there's a pandemic, clean your screens anyway, you know? Right. I mean, I just still don't want to touch a dirty screen, right. whether there's a yeah. rampant virus running around or just because somebody's grubby hands were all over yeah. it, you know? Yeah. Like, just, it's, you know, we can clean this stuff anyway. It's okay, you know?
But the places that I've been to definitely have gotten that message. Sorry, Kristen, yeah. go ahead.
I was going to say, clean your doorknobs as well. Clean, right. you know, the stuff that everyone is touching on a regular basis. So there's a big box retailer that I go to a lot. They happen to be a very great customer of ours. And their perspective is that whole visual cleaning. That is what is going to make people comfortable and keep them coming back. So they moved to more self-checkout. They are seeing the importance of this. And they have those that personnel that is constantly between every engagement. You know, they have their whole row of self-checkout, and between every interaction, they are going and cleaning it, and they're doing the same thing with the shopping carts. They weren't concerned about, oh, well, let's put this antimicrobial screen on here, and should we put UV lights to clean this? No, we are going to use a cleaning product, and we are going to have the patrons who we consider our family members seeing that we're cleaning and we care about their safety, and that's what's going to keep them coming back. So I think it's very interesting because they're, I mean, a huge retailer, at least across the states.
Yeah. And another thing I wanted to go back to that you touched on a little bit there, Kristen, was what I'll quantify as the behavior of our society, in the sense that, you know, I think that one of the things that is coming out of this pandemic is just an acceleration of the fact that people like to control their environment. So I don't know if it's that people don't like to talk to people, which, yes, there's a certain element of those. But, you know, I think that people like to control their environment when they're in the retail. And so that's why I think touch is going to continue into the future being a dominant type of technology, because again, if I feel comfortable that it's been cleaned and things like that, there's a lot of advantages for me to be able to control my own checkout, or when I walk into a facility, do my own ordering. You know, right here I can do it. I don't have to talk to somebody. And what do you mean by that? And I'm just pressing it in, as long as the UI and all that good stuff, there's some intuition behind that. I definitely think that that's where, you know, when I look at my kids, you know, that are in the 20 or late teens, I mean, they like to control, you know, when they're in those types of things, they love going up to the kiosk and being able to control what right. they do. So I really think that that's going to be a part of the future.
Yeah. This is one of those times where I feel like, you know, we've talked about before, necessity, the mother of invention. And this pandemic has been the mother of a lot of invention, but it's also a lot of stuff that I think is very, very good and should stick around for quite a long time. Or just literally, as we said, be the future. The future is digital science. See, we're coming back.
See, there it is right there. He already tied the bow.
That's right. We're done. We can full sign off. Good night, everybody. No. So,
we're done.
Yeah. So I want to kind of shift gears a little bit. And actually, this is not necessarily shifting gears entirely, because I think it's a lot of it's still semi-related to the pandemic, which is, you know, we talk a lot about retail, you know, especially in grocery, and, you know, even to some extent, it's hospitality, like when it comes to digital signage. Like, we're always talking about a lot of, I think, those industries for the most part. But digital signage obviously has a huge impact in some other industries and areas as well. Three of them that popped to mind immediately for me that I think are also being very much impacted by the way we have to utilize this right now. Smart cities, or just cities in general, using digital signage, you know, to obviously to decide where people should and shouldn't be. Healthcare, and I won't elaborate too much on these because I want Kristen to do that, because I think she's probably got some better examples. And education. So, you know, of those three, Kristen, you know, and you don't have to talk about all of them, but, you know, which ones, you know, or where have you seen some interesting innovation around digital signage?
Well, as you pointed out, that communication and letting people know where throughout the city. So within the smart city, again, it comes down to that communication and helping people navigate what this new normal is. And as much as we want to move what's the future, but the future is based on now, right? And what's happening. And making sure that people understand the way their particular community, their particular city is working, what is the protocols, their methodology. I've had a lot of inquiries and requests come up. So paying city bills, rather than someone coming into the office and writing a check, having an interactive kiosk in the vestibule and making that human contactless experience. So I think as cities evolve, they're going to have a lot more automation engagement points. So that's where I think it plays into smart cities. One, communicating and making, so as we discussed, making people feel like they're in control of their own destiny. So they can decide where to go based on the information that's being disseminated, as well as they can control how they interact with a certain space, whether it is food ordering, whether it is paying your water bill, or riding a bike around a bike path in your community. What's the best way for me? Where do I feel safe? Where am I going to bring my family? So we're not stuck in the house, but it's also, I know it's open and I know, what protocols are in place. Within the education space, so I'm going to come at this as a parent who has a kid that is 100% virtual learning right now, where I see a lot of the future in the education space is health screening and wellness screening and making sure to the best of our ability, right? Everyone can't do quick COVID tests, but you can do temperature checks. You can do, some wellness type questionnaires and things that are, helping to the best of the ability of making sure that everyone who is entering a facility is as healthy as we can decipher them to be without doing a full medical test. So that is one of the things that I think is going to be really impactful in education. My husband and I went out to dinner and we were sitting at the bar last night, and a woman and her daughter were next to us, and she is at a university, and they have to be tested every 5 days at that university. So I thought that was super interesting. So if there's a way to automate that, communicate that, even show where to go within the digital signage space within the higher ed, I think that is also going to be more protocols that you're seeing put in place. And then healthcare. Healthcare is actually, everyone thinks that healthcare is thriving right now. They're actually, they're suffering because people aren't doing elective procedures and people are trying to avoid their standard wellness visits or their physicals, or, I would go in and I do my thing, but I'm going to pull it out. And if it's broken, I'm just going to ride with it. So I think where healthcare is really seeing the use and the need for digital signage is in that triage space. So when they first come in, where do I go? Where do I stay safe? Because that's one of the scariest places to go is the hospital right now. But then wayfinding and also reiterating, these are the things that we have put in place. This is why you're safe here. And I'm going to go on a personal note. I had to go to the hospital during COVID, and trying to decide to go or not to go was something that was a huge burden, above and beyond being ill. And when I went there, and there was no one there, it was really weird. I mean, in my life, I fall a lot, so I've been to the emergency room several times in my life. But it was weird. I was the only person on the station board. I was the only one that they were bringing through. I was able to get in and get an x-ray super quick. It was a really unique experience. So I think communication, not only being the signage when you get in there, but they need help communicating that there is safety and we are taking care of you. And when you are here, these are the directions. Here's where you need to go. But then also that telehealth, because people aren't going to be traveling, right? So doctors who normally would go and visit other facilities, that's not going to happen as often as it historically would have. So being able to have a medical card with a conferencing system on that, with a touchscreen engagement as well. So being able to bring in the specialist, talk about it, and both that local doctor or nurse working with that professional, that specialist that happens to be remote, circling an x-ray or whatever it may be, going through the medical plan while they're up there talking to you, they're not physically there. That is something else that we're going to see a big growth in my opinion.
Lots to unpack there. Mm-hmm. I mean, thanks for touching on all three of them. Yeah, that was awesome. Because it does have an impact, you know, across those three areas, right? Education, healthcare, smart cities. Digital signage is fairly ubiquitous at this point in time, and we've talked about some of the advantages there. Going back a little bit to the smart cities, and John, I know we didn't touch on it too much, but you know, the indoor versus outdoor, digital signage can be used very effectively in an outdoor environment. And when I think about how a lot of the societal changes that we've gone to, some of that is outdoor. You know, lines are outdoor now. You know, people, you don't go into a facility unless there's not a lot of people there and things like that. Right. So Kristen hit the nail on the head about how, you know, you can use digital signage, how it's being used to communicate, to be interactive, to help facilitate some of the workflow around those areas. And really on the healthcare side, Kristen, I agree. It's interesting that where healthcare is today. Yes, they're hurting. You know, even though we're all trying to keep the curve down, you know, it's kind of counterintuitive in a sense around that. But what it creates are these environments where there's not a lot of people in them, and you do need to still communicate. I remember back in the day when one of the first digital signage installations we did was in a healthcare, because of the fact that communication is so very critical in the waiting room area, in the wayfinding area. Healthcare is just, it's perfectly suited for digital signage in a lot of ways.
Definitely. Well, Kristen, my next question for you is kind of almost the flip side of what we've been talking about, which is there any, you know, any industries or places that you think should be using more digital signage and they're not, places that you see sometimes, maybe as you're out and about? I'm sure in your world, you're always thinking there could be a sign there. There could be a sign there, you know, like that should be a sign. That should be a sign. So where do you think like it should be used? And maybe another question there too, is there such a thing as too much signage?
That's absolutely too much signage. I'll jump back to your initial question first. Like everything, too much of anything is not good. It starts to have the counter effects, the adverse effects. And when it comes to digital signage, if it's everywhere, like think about Times Square, you're seeing it, but you're not digesting it, right? There's a lot coming at you all at once. It's exciting, you know, great. But then after, you know, your first time standing in Times Square, you walk through it and it's just lights. It's guiding your way. It's not something that you stand there and really digest and engage with it. And that is exactly the opposite from what the people who implemented that digital sign want. They want you to be taking in that information or engaging with something. You know, marketing teams and IT teams put a lot of time and effort into deploying that digital sign. So, they don't want to distract from it and have too much going on. So I definitely think there can be too much of a good thing. Areas, I'm sorry, I totally blanked on what the first question was. So today things are tough, right? We're all doing business in a completely different way. But you know, back in normaler times, one place where I think that digital signage is underutilized is in the office. There is so many circumstances. So think about your business, for instance. You know what you're doing. You know what is happening in your particular world, your territory, your specialization in technology. But wouldn't it be great to know how other people in your organization, other territories, where they're winning, what's really cool, a new technology, something that you're seeing great success selling maybe, or different use cases. Hey, this is where Kristen is positioning a 32-inch touchscreen, but one of her counterparts positioned it in a completely different way. And it is like, why didn't we think about this sooner? So making sure to communicate what's going on all around the company, and then also recognizing employees. That's, you know, feeling a little bit empowered, feeling appreciated is a big thing. So there's one aspect of it is, you know, recognizing employees, recognize the big things that they're doing, you know, the cool new technology that they're bringing into the building. And then on another side of that, you know, turn it into a competition. Hey, this region is, you know, doing this much sales, or they brought these new names into our company, or these new brands. It's there's a lot to be said for signage within an office space, because HR departments, but yeah, you can put everything up on an intranet, but unless you're putting it in front of my face, I have emails to do, I have conference calls that I'm going to jump on, I have an RFP that's due. That's what I'm doing while I'm sitting at my desk. So if while I'm walking to the bathroom or going to the kitchen or, you know, going to see another employee, if that is information that's being fed to me and it's relevant and it might help me sell more, do more business, that's something that I'm going to stop and watch and pay attention to. So that's, I mean, digital signage, as we've been talking about, it's relevant. But I think, you know, we see it a ton in retail. That's, you know, where it's been pioneered. We've been seeing huge growth within the hospitality, quick serve area of business. But I do think that it is underutilized within the office space itself.
I like that one a lot, Kristen. Mm. I mean, you know, my answer to that was going to be, John, was in the manufacturing space. I think there's an underutilized use of digital signage. And why? Because you can use it on a shop floor. You can use it in a warehouse space to communicate to employees that are not getting typical traditional, what we call traditional communications via email. Or something like that, or they're not web logging into web portals and stuff like that. So it's an excellent communication medium in those spaces where employees don't have access to those things. And by the way, really smart companies are leveraging the fact that they're dynamic in nature. So you can put in productivity numbers that are up to the minute.
Right.
You know, you don't need to see last week's reports that has been posted to the bulletin board. We're getting real-time information on productivity levels or how much we shipped today or whatever the matrix may be. So awesome use of it. I just don't think that it's being used very much in manufacturing. You know, you posed in the beginning there, is there such thing as too much signage? And I think, I don't know, is there a 70s song, you know, sign, signs everywhere, sign, sign. So, but the billboards was for the longest time and still to this day, you know, people don't like to see billboards, but I think an effective use of digital signage is in billboard technology, because one electronic billboard can take the place of four or five other screens. Mm-hmm. Right. So instead of seeing this line of billboards going down the screen, you just have one that's flipping through a couple of them. And that's cool. A good use of it. And then the final one that I'll throw out is where I'd like to see digital signage being used. Construction. I mean, you know, if think about signage that is still 8-bit technology, whether you're driving down the road and it's just merge left,
right.
merge left.
Right.
That's all, whatever, you know, it's just very, very basic stuff. But man, I feel like I need a little bit more information sometimes. Okay, how long is this going to be here? Or, you know, I got to shift this traffic this day, but then tomorrow it's going to be. So, but not just outdoor signage, even indoor construction. Like, I can't tell you countless times I've walked in, been in a city, walked through an environment, and boom, there's this whole construction going on. Where did this come from? Mm-hmm. Now, how do I get around this? You know, there's no intuitive navigation and stuff like that. Anyway, I think construction people started using some digital signage as well.
Yeah. I mean, just imagine like if you're driving down the road and you see like not just the whole, you know, merge left, merge right, or this ends in this. Like, I think that visual representation of like a road.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're showing, hey, here's a line of cars and they're all merging in here.
Yep.
I think that's something that people would see and go, oh, I get that. Because I feel like most people just, like you said, like we've said a lot about a lot of signs that aren't the digital one, don't catch your attention. People just, they've learned to ignore them. Just like, whatever. Well, so you always have that person that like is merging at the last second.
Yeah.
Like suddenly they're running out of road or there's an orange barrel in front of them. They're like, oh no,
well,
you know.
And I'll give you another use case. So not to get too granular, but on 75, I-75, which seems to be in perpetual construction mode.
Yeah.
I know you know what I'm talking about, Kristen, because you know 75 goes up through Michigan.
75, right?
Oh my God, it's perpetual. So they did a lane shift where they just peeled off the fast lane here recently in downtown Cincinnati. But what you don't know, so if you stay in that lane, what you don't know are all the exits that I'm going to, how long does this go? And am I going to miss the exits that were a part of that? You can't facilitate that on these little 8-bit signs, you know, merge, or go left. You know, but in a digital sign that was a little bit more impactful, you could say, yeah, you still get to these exits, those types of things. Anyway.
Yep. Yeah. No, those are all awesome.
Have I sold you on the use of construction digital?
You have actually. Like I'm all
maybe we should go into business.
Exactly.
Kristen, let's go there.
No, I love it. And what you guys are saying is just that communication. It's such a powerful communication tool that can be dynamic.
Right.
So it can take I don't know how many times I get asked, hey, Kristen, can this partner do that? Can this partner, you know, pull in misinformation, whatever? As long as it's a data feed, the majority of our digital signage software companies out there, they can pull in any sort of digital feed. So, within the manufacturing facility, if you can get those numbers on your computer and it's some sort of database, it can be fed to a digital sign very easily. If you're doing a lane shift and today it's to the right and tomorrow it's to the left, you can even schedule that out. There's just so many things that make life easier and a more powerful way to communicate.
Yep.
Maybe that should have been the title of the podcast, Digital Signage. It makes life easier.
And more powerful.
That's right. So my last question for you, because we haven't talked about the idea of the future being digital signage, is I want to talk a little bit about some of those future trends in tech that you've come across or are hearing about. And in particular, I do want you to kind of talk a little bit about collaboration tools, because we did a podcast a few weeks back about remote work and the idea that this is not something that I think is going to go away when we're done with COVID, because I think a lot of people enjoy it. A lot of people like working from home or like the idea of being able to work from wherever, regardless of where your home office or home base is. So I think that's going to inspire a lot more need for collaboration tools, especially when there are people, back in the office on a regular basis. So I know that's a specialty of Elo, so I kind of want you to touch on that in particular. But then where else, are you seeing trends in tech in digital signage going?
Yeah, so you hit the nail on the head. Collaboration is here to stay. It really is. We have all gotten used to talking to the camera rather than, having someone side by side with you. And we're also, as people come to go back to work, we're going to have this hybrid workforce. And not only the offices, because I know some of my friends have talked about how certain departments work certain days and certain departments work other days. So there's not, a capacity problem within a particular office, but then there's also those people who travel in and out, and visitors and vendors and people who you are used to seeing on a regular basis that now aren't going. So there's a big hybrid trend that we're going to continue to see, and making it as personal as possible, that's where that collaboration comes in. But what we're going to see, in my opinion, is rather than those huge 90 to 100 inch screens in these big conference rooms where it was kind of one to many and a little impersonal, we're going to not have those jam-packed headquarters. We're going to have more smaller huddle spaces, and we've all gotten used to collaborating digitally. So being able to collaborate on a touchscreen with multiple people, so there's still that connection, but you can do it with remote participants. That is something that I foresee a big growth in, because people do want that connection. They do want to work with people again. So I see more smaller collaboration screens, a lot more, all-in-one type form factor rather than big complex conference room setups, open-air meeting spaces, so something that can be a collaboration display during a meeting. It can also be used as digital signage. I'm going to take that back around for communication in the middle of the day. More personal type stations, and this is something I was talking about yesterday, a 27-inch screen for collaboration and video conferencing, but it's an engagement tool. You can still touch on the screen. It still serves as that meeting whiteboard functionality where you can put sticky notes on it and you can write on it because it is there in front of you, but someone that is remote is seeing it and they can pull up their marker and they can write on it as well. So I see, again, that use and that need for touch engagement, as well as, that huddle space within the collaboration. Above and beyond that, what's interesting today is how we're utilizing technology, right? We aren't going somewhere for an experience. We're going somewhere to get something done. And one of the things that I was excited about seeing was, gesture technology being a little bit easier to use and lower hanging fruit. It was something that was really tough. It was kind of clunky and extremely expensive. We're now integrating gesture technology into dozens of screens. So instead of, that full touch engagement, you can swipe, swipe, swipe and have, that touch feeling and that experience, but you're not touching anything. So that's kind of, it's experiential. It gets people thinking cool, cutting edge, but you're still there for this. You're getting something back. So that is something that I see very cool that is, growing. But then the use of AI and just having some intelligence around movement and occupancy and where people are dwelling. And, we all use our phones, right, to pay for things, to get logged in. And as we get more comfortable with that technology, utilizing that AI to do more in the places you go regularly. So payments and loyalty, things along that line. And, it used to be very, male, female, certain age groups. So we're going to switch content to that. And now it can be a much more personal experience based on all the technology that we have in the way camera technology has advanced.
I agree with that last part there because, that it's very intuitive that, instead of the screens getting bigger and bigger, which they're doing, but the smart use of that technology in these spaces, whether it's retail, hospitality, even in banking, wherever, the use of smaller screens that are a little bit more personalized, that's where I think hopefully digital signage goes to so that you can have kind of an interpersonal, if you will, relationship with that little screen that's in front of you, but mm-hmm. it connects to you and knows who you are and those types of things. I call it AI, whatever, call it AR, use of digital signage, but the blending of that is definitely going to happen. It's at the end of the road, it's a screen, and it's a screen that's giving you information and helping you with that overall customer experience, which again, we keep talking about, such a premium is going to be put on the customer experience. If it's enabling people, making that customer experience more transparent, more fluid, more enjoyable, it's going to win.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. I think one other little interesting innovation that I remember reading about was, a true touchless digital mm-hmm. signage or digital display where, it could respond to movements or respond to gestures. I think you briefly mentioned that. I love that idea. It reminded me once again of the unofficial movie of the TechConnect podcast, Minority Report. Where, when he's flipping through all the screens and turning things, I'm making all the gestures for anybody who's listening on the audio only, and all this stuff that he can manipulate and do without actually having to physically touch a screen. I'm like, that's so cool. I can't wait for that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Why don't we have that today? Kristen, we need that today. Well, she just said, I guess you've seen it in some spaces, right? Or you're using it?
That Elo is definitely exploring because they are that engagement company, right? So what is that next level of engagement? And so it's cool. I love seeing what our engineering department's doing and exploring. And that's still a very new infancy type technology because historically that gesture technology would be you're in an experience. You're going to kick a sock, like a fake soccer ball, and it's going to go in the net. And, you're playing a game. When you get into the type of gesturing that we're talking about, it has to be so precise because, we're used to touching a, very small spot on a screen and getting a reaction from it. And with gesture technology, that in order for it to be a relevant and a sustainable technology, it has to get that minute in particular. So while you can, scroll through things like that, that's something that you can do today, absolutely. But being able to have a particular, very precise point is where it's going to be, and it's really cool. And it's just fun to see different ways technology is being used and how it's evolving. Because let's be honest, how much thinner are our screens going to get? And DirectV LED is, a big deal, so it can go bigger, it can go outside. But we haven't seen, a ton of innovation in the screen technology itself. So it's really how is it being, what's it being paired with that is the future of digital signage. So that's what's very cool, changing that bezel into something that can, you know, read and react to actions, incorporating it with an intelligent camera and an intelligent database. Those are the things that are the future.
Yeah, you know, that's the only thing about doing this podcast sometimes is I feel like I hear about all these cool technologies that I just want right now.
Oh, you need it right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Not the 20, 30 years from now, I just need it now. All right. Well, that does it for us for our main conversation. Before we move on to our recurring segments, I want to, as always, thank our founding members. Elo, of course, is one of those.
Yes.
So thank you so much. Your support is why we're able to do this podcast and why we're here.
That's
so
right.
And hey, you know, if you have any thoughts or opinions about digital signage, the future, interesting questions or topics that has occurred to you, please reach out to us. One thing you can do is connect with us on Apple Podcasts, leave us a 5-star rating and review. We'd love to be able to read some of those reviews on air. Or if you've got a question, feel free to dump it in there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you leave us a review and give us a nice rating, it helps just increase our attraction with, you know, other viewers as well. And then also, if you do want to contact us directly, you can follow us on Twitter, tweet at us at TechConnectPod, or email us techconnect@bluestarinc.com. All right. Well, as I mentioned, we're going to wrap up with our recurring segments. First of all, we're going to talk about the value to the VAR.
Mm-hmm.
And the question I have, you know, we've done a couple other digital signage podcasts in the past, you know, about just the basics,
right,
and a little beyond the basics,
mm-hmm,
focusing a lot on the hardware and software side.
Yep.
But I've always asked kind of the same question. And Kristen, I want to ask you this question too, is why do you think that VARs should be adding digital signage to their portfolio?
It's low-hanging fruit. I mean, that's my most, to the point segment. You are our reseller base that we're talking to right now. They're bringing technology into a company. They are, making a company more efficient. They're pulling low voltage. They are, setting up cameras and working with their sophisticated RFID and that type of technology. Digital signage is a way to tie into your point of sale system, your communication system, and report on that and communicate what's being done. And it's, it's technology that's accessible to our resellers. And it's just a way to increase your value to your customer base. You want to be that VAR that your customer comes to for everything technology related. So making sure that you can talk to digital signage and all the other things that we've talked to today is extremely important, while knowing that you have a team at Bluestar and all of the manufacturing partners that are here to support you. That's the key thing. You don't have to know everything. You need to be able to talk to it, and you need to be able to be that resource for your end user that they know they can come to for anything technology related. And digital signage is part of that. And you have so many resources that can help guide you. If you're not an expert today, become an expert.
Brilliant. I love that because, I love where you were going at right there at the end, Kristen, because that is so true that you can leverage resources. Look, 20 years ago, digital signage, even 15 years ago, maybe a little scary for some resellers to get into it because, a little bit newer back then, a little bit mystic. What is this whole thing? Plasma monitors were really expensive and all this other stuff, and maybe not the right time to get into the space. Today, there is no reason to not get in the space. I mean, it's all been figured out. It has all been boiled down to its essence. If you need resources, you can find them. We've talked about content. Obviously, content's king. There are resources out there, software that is out there. The screens themselves are so intuitive at this point in time. It's ridiculous. I mean, it's very easy to set up the hardware components around it. So when you think about the future of digital signage, that stuff is just like, old school now. But you need to be tapped in. And Kristen hit it on the head, because if you are a solution provider, you need to be able to have the conversation around digital signage, because like it or not, and we've talked about a lot of different environments that digital signage can go into. Yeah, okay, everybody sees the very public ones that are out there, whether it's in an airport, whether it's a digital menu board or whatnot, but there are ways that digital signage is going to be used in other areas, manufacturing, transportation, logistics, healthcare. It is out there. Here's the bottom line. If you are in managed services at all, and if you're looking for recurring revenue, which I don't know a reseller who isn't right now, or let me rephrase that, who shouldn't be looking right into that right now. Digital signage is a great way to do that. You can get recurring revenue, not just on the software, but if you tweak your skill sets internally just a little bit, you know, on the programming side or on the content side, which again, don't freak out. It's not that hard to do. There's resources out there. You can make recurring revenue on all of these services and turn it into a nice managed little service part of your business and leverage those resources that you have today. I'm telling you can do it.
Yep. You know, I'm just going to basically say, yeah,
I'm sorry.
No, I'm just going to basically say that, you know, what they said, because I feel like we've done this enough times. We've talked about this enough times. And if you've listened to the three podcasts that we've already had talking about digital signage, and especially this one where we start really talking about interesting use cases, applications, mm-hmm. and literally the future,
and the fact that it's not going to go anywhere, right. It's going to be around.
And if you still at this point think, nah, I don't want to get into digital signage, well then, you know, I guess
we can't sell you enough.
Yeah, right. We can't help you at that point. But yeah, there's plenty of good reasons too.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we want to wrap up with our favorite segment of each week. That's What's Tech Connecting with You. This is where we talk about just some cool or interesting piece of technology that's exciting or interesting to us. Doesn't have to have anything to do with digital signage, what we've talked about today, but just something that has caught our attention, something that we're fascinated to be playing with or reading about, or mm-hmm. you know, just something interesting that's got our attention right now. So, Kristen, I'll start with you. What is Tech Connecting with You?
All right, so there's two things that came up within the last few days. Just because I feel like we're involved in tech every day, inundated with it, in what we do. So it kind of, I feel like sometimes it's small things that wow us. And so on Sunday, I was at a restaurant standing at the bar with my friends, and I kept looking over. There was this square, kind of like techy-looking thing sitting on the bar next to a gentleman, and it looks like a pager. And I was thinking, is that like, is he waiting for a table? What is that? And I think he must have saw me looking at it. And so he leaned over and was like, you remember the Motorola Razr? And we're like, yeah, of course. I had the coolest pink one. And he opened it up and, you know, it was the OLED screen and it was still had all the touch functionality outside of the screen. I was like, I'm never leaving my Apple phone at this point, but dang, that's super cool. And that was just one thing. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you have to go over and show my husband. it was one of those things where I went home and I looked it up just to learn more of the specs on it because I just think that's super cool. You know, like as I was saying, we're not going to get much smaller or thinner on the screens. I mean, we have OLED nowadays, right? So when you have someone who has a little phone that, you know, something that looks like a pager that then opens up and the screen is bigger than my iPhone and it's touch and it's beautiful, crystal clear. That was something that this week was kind of, I know, it's a small thing, right?
Right. That's awesome.
Yeah, and then the other thing that was amazed me is, so I just moved into a new home, and our lower level is a big wide open area and a golden retriever. And the new flooring that we have, it shows that golden retriever everywhere. So I was looking into the Roombas, and the one I ended up getting, what was amazing to me was the app side of it. And you can go through with it and on the app and lay out your entire house. And you can say, oh, you know what? Okay, so my 11-year-old was eating in the kitchen a few minutes ago. And even though she's 11, there's still stuff everywhere. So I can say, go clean the kitchen. You know, it has its daily routine. But you can get very particular on what those zones, no-go zones. Like, so I could be working in the office. And, you know, so no-go in the office between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. today. It was just super cool to me.
I That's like awesome. That. I've been looking into that. Dang it, Kristen. Maybe I can convince my wife now because I am, I do that chore in our house. I vacuum, yes, the house. That's one of my jobs. I actually like doing it, but, you know, the older I get, whatever, it's like, yeah. And then I see this Roomba technology. Man, I need something like that. Yeah. So maybe, I don't know, maybe this might be the impetus to finally do
my
that.
My wife has been all about getting a Roomba for a while and is always like, hey, keep an eye out on Prime Day or whatever comes up. If we find a good deal, we're going to do this.
Yes.
And yes. I've always been kind of like, you know.
Yeah, the price point is kind of high. I don't know. Yeah. But then I saw that Samsung has one out now. So maybe the price point's getting a little, I don't know.
But,
I don't know.
But now you're telling me there's an app for it. And anytime you tell me there's an app for something, I immediately get like, ooh, okay. I'm a little more excited because I could do something on my app, you know.
Well, I'm telling you, it was one of those things where at first when I'm like, oh, you know, the prices come down. This is, yeah, this is great. But then you see that there is, of course, multiple levels of them and more sophistication. And of course, I went for the one that had the app that, because that's what sold me. And I'm still kind of mad at myself that I spent the money because it's, is it necessary? Because I do have a vacuum and hands and feet. But
yes, let me answer it for you. Yes, it's necessary. Do not feel guilt on that front. And by the way, I love, man, this is what you need. I love the part of the app where, well, you can, you know, just tell it to go clean up after your kid. I mean, I got it. You know, your kid's not old enough, but I'm with you, Kristen. Like anytime my 8-year-old, almost 9-year-old is sitting at the kitchen bar and has food, guaranteed there's a mess right under that seat. So if I could just program into the room, I'd just follow Tori.
Yeah, no doubt.
After she eats, just go ahead and just sweep that
right
area
now. That's the dog's job, but you know,
right. Well, I don't know. Yeah.
But the Roomba probably can still do better. Our dog's dumb, he doesn't find anything that he's supposed to anyway. So
you could say at certain times of day, so you know, Kylie's being homeschooled. So I can say her lunch period is between 12:15 and 1. Mr. Roomba at 1:15.
Boom.
Kitchen or the dining area,
where
it is.
Done.
All right, Dean, what's tech connecting
well,
with you?
Well, so it's not a technology. It was an article that I was reading, and it was around redefining the sales role. And I really think that, you know, kind of touching back on the pandemic and, you know, in the old days, if you will, which just eight months ago or whatever, and the article just talks about how traveling sales is kind of gone. And if you are investing a lot in traveling sales, maybe you should be rethinking that, because their argument was traveling salespeople were really just expensive customer sales service reps. And I'm thinking to myself, well, I was kind of a traveling salesperson for a little while. And yeah, I guess I was just a customer service rep, you know, swooping in and getting deals done. But the article makes the argument that if the true selling part of that, internalize it, right? Because if an outside salesperson can have 15 selling conversations in a week because, you know, they're in and out of a car or whatnot, going to customer, truly selling. Well, an inside salesperson can have 15 selling conversations in a day, not just a week. So you're getting like five times the efficiency by moving the selling process internally. Now, the external part, it's not that the external part isn't necessary, but that's more of a technical, what this is arguing, a technical function of, oh, you got to meet with the customer and figure out what their needs are. And that's a very technical conversation a lot of times. So that's not selling. That's just understanding the needs. And we've had that conversation around that. So I don't know. That's just got me thinking about how the sales role is going to be redefined potentially coming out of this and how companies need to adjust to that. We'll see. I don't know. We'll see what the future. So when we roll the tape back on this one, you know, and figure out if you were right about the future of digital signage, we'll see if the redefining of sales roles happens, you know, in 5-10 years. I think it's
going to
happen.
But, you know, that's one of those things where, again, I feel like is going to make sense, because I feel like there's a lot of people who are going to be like, man, I like this. People not coming to my office or my door and taking up my time and making me spend time with them and sitting down here. I mean, unless you're just someone who loves all the, like, I don't know, if someone shows up and brings you food or takes you out to golf or something all the time. Like, if that's your thing, maybe you're going to be, you know.
But that's a customer service is what this article is. That's just a customer relationship. That's not selling at all.
Exactly.
So you're overpaying people who are just, you know, making sure that there's good customer service. How are things going? Blah, blah, blah. Yep. Those kinds of things.
Yeah. And hey, to tie things back to our topic today, that's a great reason to use some collaboration tools.
Oh, bingo.
There you
go. Well done. Well done, John. What's tech connecting with you?
Together.
There you go.
So, hey, I don't know if you knew, but I'm a nerd.
I'm sorry, I didn't see it on your name tag.
I mean, it's been, you know, it's I keep it hidden very well. You know, I probably have a Star Wars shirt or something on here. Who knows?
Right.
Well, so I'm a science fiction nerd in particular. I mean, I'm a nerd of a lot of things, but I've always been a science fiction person. You know, Star Wars was probably one of my foundational pieces of pop culture as a kid.
And we are going to have a podcast on some Star Wars at some point in time.
We're totally going to get later in the year. We're going to do some fun stuff. We're going to have something about all the cool sci-fi tech.
There you go.
So I came across a video because I think as part of my science fiction fascination is I've always loved the ships, the starships and the space vehicles, or any kind of vehicles, you know, around science fiction. Well, there's a company called Metaball Studios who developed a video. It's like a 12-minute long video, and it's basically comparing size-wise to give you scale of all the various ships and vehicles.
I think I've seen this. Yes, go ahead.
I will link this in the show notes for the podcast.
Okay.
So if you want to see the video, go look for it, click there and find it. But it starts off from, you know, stuff as small as, like, you know, I don't know, a little tiny alien ship from, mm-hmm. like, Men in Black and the TARDIS from Doctor Who, mm-hmm. you know, something the phone booth size, mm-hmm. you know, so we all get the size of that, and scales it up, you know, through, you know, X-Wing fighters, Star Destroyers, you know, every ship you've ever seen in any movie or film, like, so much stuff that I had seen or stuff that I didn't even, you know, recognize or wasn't even familiar with, stuff from literature. It gets you all the way up to, like, a Dyson Sphere and Ringworld from the Larry Niven Ringworld novels. And the scale just, it blows your mind. Because they do it, like, next to, like, a city as stuff gets bigger.
Yes, yeah. Right.
So it's
Star Destroyers, like, the size of the whole state of New York or something like that. It's a lot bigger than you think it is.
It's a gorgeous video to watch. You even if it's something you're not really into, you will find yourself just immersed in just watching the scale move up. And, like, every time, like, you're moving along a scale and then suddenly, the camera view kind of shifts back and expands, and you realize, oh crap, we're getting into the really big stuff now. And I loved it. I fell in love with it. I watched the whole thing twice. I was just like, this is amazing. So check out the show notes.
I'm going to the show notes. Absolutely. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
So Kristen, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate your insight.
Appreciate your time.
It is time for us to unplug. So until next time, you know, go watch some sci-fi spaceship videos and stay connected. Thanks, everybody.
The Tech Connect podcast is brought to you by Elo. It's new, it's big. Elo's 4K 65-inch interactive digital signage is here. The 6553L is a touchscreen perfect for everything from endless aisle to collaborative meetings, conferencing, and whiteboarding.
Available with either PCAP or infrared touch technologies, the professional-grade large-format display is ideal for both captivating digital experiences in public places and engaging communication in the enterprise. The 6553L comes standard with Quizdom's robust annotation and whiteboarding software, while Elo Edge Connect offers a wide range of peripherals that can be added or removed as needs change.
Elo has your back with a standard 3-year warranty and complimentary on-site exchange. Peace of mind for customers who simply need their signage technology to work. Contact your Blue Star representative to learn more.